And this is the last one. And we're thinking again about what we as church have been called to do. Back in September, we thought about our identity, who we are. In October, we thought about our character, what we're called to be like by God. And in November, we've been thinking a bit about some ways in which we as a church serve, what we're called to do. So who we are, what we're like, what we do. And we've thought about serving through loving one another a couple of weeks ago. Last week, serving through speaking the truth in love to one another, the truth, the gospel to one another. And this week, we're thinking about how we serve our community. How we serve our community by reaching out to people and proclaiming the good news of the gospel to the community. So first we'll think about why proclaiming the gospel is serving the community, because that's not necessarily obvious, is it? We'll find out why it's the first and most important form of service of our community. Secondly, we'll find out how we start off doing that, because it sounds a bit daunting, doesn't it? And then finally, we'll think about how we serve the community in this way. What do we do? So, firstly, why proclaiming the gospel is serving the community? Why is that the case? Well, if you close your Bible up, do open again at Matthew chapter 9. We're going to be there for most of the time. Is that page 974? Page 974 in our Bibles, Matthew chapter 9. Wait for the rustling to finish. And before our passage that we had read for us by Andy, there are four scenes where we see Jesus. In the first one, Jesus heals a paralyzed man. But look with me at verse 5. Before he heals him physically, he heals him spiritually by forgiving his sins. The fact that his sins were forgiven is even more significant for him than the fact that he picked up his mat and walked home for the first time in however many years. Because having his sins forgiven changed his eternal destiny. After being forgiven, he was now heaven-bound. He was walking into eternity with Jesus. The second scene is sort of similar in a way. Jesus calls Matthew. And like the paralyzed man, he also got up and followed Jesus. By hearing Jesus' call and obediently following him, Matthew too began walking into eternity, heaven bound. Next, after some debate about fasting, a synagogue leader whose daughter has just died finds Jesus. And he begs Jesus to come and raise his daughter back to life. And on the way to her bedside, Jesus heals a woman who'd been bleeding for many years and would have been considered spiritually unclean and an outcast from the community. Then he arrives at the girl's bedside and raises her from death to life. And again, two people were completely transformed by Jesus, weren't they? Spiritually cleansed and given new life. Then in the fourth scene, Jesus heals two blind men who had the spiritual eyes, if not the physical one, the spiritual eyes to see that Jesus was the promised king, the son of David. And they cried out to him for mercy. And guess what? They received it. Followed immediately by a demon-possessed man who was rescued by Jesus from Satan's clutches. A picture of what happens when anyone is rescued by Jesus and starts to follow him. They're rescued from from being hellbound and in the grip of the devil. And they're rescued for eternal life with Jesus, an eternal destiny changed because they're now heaven-bound. That's true for all of us who have turned to trust and follow Jesus, isn't it? But look at the reaction Jesus gets from the religious political leaders of the time, the movers and shakers. Look with me at verse 34, just before the passage we had read. Verse 34, but the Pharisees said, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. They thought that what Jesus was doing was evil, was nasty, was wrong. And they thought he needed stamping out, cancelling. And those were the people who were supposed to be leading God's people well, leading them to God, not leading them away from him. And so verse 35, our passage, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were sick? Well, I assume he did, but primarily because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. These people were supposed to be led by the religious and political leaders of Israel, and yet they weren't. They were being led away from Jesus, sent away from him, not led by the great shepherd of the sheep. They were being discouraged from following Jesus. They were being told he was evil, he was wrong. But Jesus was changing lives and changing eternal destinies, wasn't he? And the supposed leaders were dead against him. These people were searching for Jesus. They would, wouldn't they? They instinctively knew that they needed him. They'd heard what he was doing. They'd heard that he'd been giving people new life, that he'd been healing people, that he'd been forgiving sins. And they were searching out for him. But they were helpless without Jesus, because without him, they were not heaven-bound. They were spiritually and eternally lost without him, which is why Jesus had compassion on them. And that idea of compassion there is that gut-wrenching feeling. You know, when something really bad happens to someone you love dearly, and you have that gut-wrenching feeling in your stomach, it churns, doesn't it? That's how Jesus felt. That's what that compassion word means. They desperately needed Jesus. In fact, he was the thing they absolutely needed the most over everything. He was the only one who could change their eternal destinies, the only one who could make people heaven-bound. Same is true today, isn't it? The same is absolutely true today. Without hearing of Jesus and without coming to him when he calls, people today are just as helpless and harassed as they were in Jesus' time. Still not heaven-bound without him. And so can you see how making Jesus known, how proclaiming the good news of Jesus, the gospel, to our community is the best way that we can serve our friends, our families, our neighbours, our colleagues, our schoolmates? Without knowing him, people are utterly lost. Through knowing and following him, we're heaven-bound, aren't we? That doesn't mean to say we have to talk about Jesus all the time. That would be quite tiresome, wouldn't it, if we spoke about nothing else ever? And it doesn't mean that we don't serve people in other ways too. Of course we do. And praise God, people here serve others in all sorts of different ways. Serve one another and serve the wider community. And that's great. Please keep it up. It's brilliant. But let's make sure that we're chatting about Jesus as we're doing this. If our energies at church are focused on doing other good things, very good things often, but we run out of time or energy to make Jesus known, then we're not serving our community in the most important way, are we? So let's just remember that as we do all of these good things, which is great, let's make sure we are making Jesus known at the same time and therefore serving our community in the very best way. Yes, we do absolutely want to look after people's practical needs as we have opportunity. We want people to enjoy coming to our events. And praise God, many people yesterday came to the Benefice Christmas Fair at St. Luke's and enjoyed themselves. Thank you again if you made a cake or you came down and added to the atmosphere or whatever you did for that. If you prayed for it, thank you so much. It was great having people having a good time there. Thank you. Keep that up. But we're not serving them in the best way if we forget that there's more, that they need to hear about Jesus as well. You see, the vision for us here at St. Andrew's and at St. Luke's down the road is to have a full church of people who are coming to find out about Jesus, who are loving to hear about him, who are wanting to find out more, and who are people who maybe they're your neighbours, maybe they're your friends, maybe they're the people you've been praying for months or maybe years to come to know Jesus. You see, this has to be all of us, doesn't it? This has to be everybody, because clergy and staff don't know your mates, your neighbours, your friends, your families, your school friends. We'd love to. I'm sure they're all very nice, but we can't possibly. And it's so important, isn't it, that we're in this together, that we're in this together. Just imagine, God begins to answer our prayers, and praise God, he is answering our prayers. Because there are many new people amongst us, and welcome if you are new. If you've been here for more than 2 or 3 weeks, you're part of the church family, aren't you? And it's lovely to have you here. Do come to the welcome tea later on at the Memorial Hall. Just imagine if your friend, your neighbour, your school friend, who you've been praying for years, is sat next to you sometime in the next few weeks or months. Sat next to you because God has called them to come to church to find out more about Jesus. What a wonderful thing that would be. Can you imagine that? Just look at the pew next to you and just think that's your friend, your family member in the next few weeks or months. That's our vision, isn't it? To have this place ringing full of people who are finding out about Jesus for the first time. Maybe Christians in this community who've been going to churches elsewhere, who would love to get to go to church in their own community so they can invite their friends and neighbours to church as well without having to travel further afield. What a wonderful thing that would be. And that's our vision here. We're in this together. And we're in the business of making Jesus known, the best way to serve our community. Now, some of us will be really excited by making Jesus known. I'm sure some will be thrilled at the prospect of doing this. Some of us, though, will feel daunted by the task at hand. Look around the local community. How many people live in Kirkella and Willoughby and beyond and don't know Jesus? Well, it's the overwhelming majority, isn't it? It's an enormous task. And some might be absolutely petrified at the prospect of making Jesus known, of talking about him with friends or family. So where do we start? Where do we get going with this? Or where do we get re-going with this? Well, look with me at verse 37. Verse 37 in our passage. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You see, we're in this together, but we're not in this together alone. We're in this together with God our Father, the Lord of the harvest. And what are we to do? What's the first thing we must do? We must ask the Lord of the harvest. That word ask there it means to pray, doesn't it? To ask God is to pray. And it has the sense of crying out to God, begging him, pleading with him that he would do this, that he would send workers out. I'm going to burn my fingers off in a minute, aren't I? Send workers out into the harvest field. Is this something that we're regularly praying? I'm sure many of us are praying that regularly. And praise God if you are. Please keep it up. But this passage has made me think over the last week, am I praying this as much as I could be? And maybe I'm not. Maybe I need to pray to God to send out workers to the harvest field a bit more than I am doing. Because God has asked me to do that. Jesus has asked me to do it. The next Benefice prayer evening is on Tuesday the 7th of December at the Memorial Hall. 7:45 in the evening for 8 o'clock start. Do come if you're able to at all. If it's your heart's desire for the people of Kirkella and of Willoughby and the beyond to get to know Jesus and to become heaven-bound themselves, then please, if you're able on that evening, come to the Memorial Hall to pray with the wider Benefice family. I know some people can't come out in the evening. Some people have got other commitments on. But if you can at all, please do come. Make it your top priority to come on Tuesday the 7th of December. It would be great, wouldn't it, to have that hall with lots of different tables praying together. Why not say, if you haven't been before, why not say to a friend who hasn't been before, do you want to come? We can sit together and it will be okay. And actually, it is okay. We've had new people there most months and nobody's gone home saying, I'm not coming to that ever again. They might be thinking it. No, I don't think they are. But nobody said they're not coming again. And most people come back at some point. So why not give it a go if you haven't been before? Nobody will make you pray out loud. Nobody will be standing at the back listening to your prayer, raising a card and saying, seven, or anything like that. Do come along. I've gone off script. This is no good, is it? Where am I? Here we are. What did Boris say? Forgive me. Forgive me. What a privilege it is, though, isn't it, to gather together as a church family, as a Benefice family, to pray the prayer that Jesus asked us to pray. He asked us to call out, to cry out to his Father to send workers into the harvest field. And he's called us to be his fellow workers. Some of us will have looked at that in growth groups last week, that we've been called to be God's fellow workers as we pray. Isn't it a privilege to have that opportunity to ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into the harvest field? There are loads of opportunities to pray to God to bring in his harvest of believers. The December prayer diary, I think, is on the back table there. Do go and have a look. There's a bookstall at the back there. There's a book called Pray Big. Why not have a look at that and maybe pick that up? And if somebody's bought it before you, we can order another one for you. No problem. So please, please do pray. God has called us. The first thing to do as we serve our community in this way of making Jesus known is to pray together, to pray by ourselves. It's not an either or, is it? It's a both and, praying by ourselves and praying together. And be sure God will answer our prayers, because if we ask him to send workers out into the harvest fields because the harvest is ready, well, guess what? He will. Because we are praying what he's asked us to pray. He will send workers out. He will do exactly that. So the first and best way to serve our community is to tell people about Jesus. We start doing that by asking God to send workers out into the harvest fields to reach those people who are ready to come home and become heaven-bound. And finally, what can we expect to happen next? Well, we've thought about that a bit, haven't we? That people will come to church. People will be sent out. People will come if we pray the prayer that God asks us to pray. But how might that happen? Who's he going to send out? Well, he doesn't say to his disciples, pray for the cavalry to come over the field, to come over the hill and tell people about me. He says, pray. Workers will be sent out. He's talking to the disciples. And if you look at the beginning of chapter 10, what does he do at the beginning of chapter 10? Matthew names the disciples and then Jesus sends them out. So who might he send? Well, it might be us, mightn't it? It might be us, you and me, to go out and tell people about Jesus as we have opportunity. But don't be scared. Don't be scared, because he'll be working in you by his Holy Spirit as he sends you out. You are not going to be left by God to hang out to dry. He's not in the business of making you look silly. He's in the business of working in you as you live out your Christian life and as you tell people about him. He will give you the words. He will give you opportunities to share the reason for the hope that you have. And as you pray, as we pray together, expect God to send people your way who want to find out something from you about this Jesus that they've heard that you follow. And do expect God to give you the right words to say, but don't expect them to be always eloquent. And which of us became a Christian because somebody had a 5-point plan lodged in their head and they explained it to you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, now become a Christian. And you prayed a prayer, amen, and you were a Christian. That doesn't happen, does it? Most of us, we became Christians through maybe somebody who wasn't a very eloquent speaker, who just shared something about Jesus with you, and they lived their life in front of you, and you became a Christian. Maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a relative, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a colleague. Whoever it was, that person probably wasn't very eloquent. Okay, maybe one or two of us became Christians at university or somewhere like that when somebody gave a great speech. But that's not most of us, is it? Most of us became Christians because somebody like you or me said something about Jesus and we wanted to follow it up. So we did. And we felt God drawing us to himself because he was. Doesn't matter if you're not eloquent. It really doesn't. Perhaps show a friend this chapter in Matthew chapter 9. This is why I follow Jesus. Look at what he did. Look at these four scenes. What do you make of it? Do you think the same as the Pharisees? Sure you don't, do you? You don't think that he is evil, surely. Wasn't he great? Look at all of those amazing things he did. This is why I follow Jesus. And then maybe invite them to church, to come and find more. Maybe they will be sitting next to you in a few weeks' time. Pray. And what's the worst that can happen when you invite somebody? Well, they can say no thanks. That's no skin off your nose, is it? But they might just say yes. They might just say yes. As you're sent out as a worker into the harvest field, as other people are sent out as workers into the harvest field, so our friends may well just come. They might just say yes. They might get that itch that only church will scratch as they want to find out about Jesus. And we have new people joining us very often, don't we? And it is such a joy. Maybe your friend can be the next one. So we need to make sure that our services and events are across the benefits, are just right for people, don't we? In our second reading, Paul said that he strove to be all things to all men, all things to all people, so that everybody had an opportunity to hear the gospel. At the moment, we have 4 weekly services. And different midweek groups. We've got the 9:30 at St. Luke's. We've got this service here. We've got Cafe Church later on. And then midweek, we've got BCP Communion. And we've got different groups for different ages, children from babies right up to 18, and then for adults. Is there something that we're missing, though? Are there a group of people we're not reaching? Please pray and please say, please tell us if we're missing a particular group of people, if we're not being all things to all people, whilst being absolutely sure that we're not changing the gospel message whatsoever. And we're not watering down our biblical teaching in a way that is going to miss out bits. Are there people we're missing? Please pray, please say if there are. So as we draw to this series to a close, let's remember who we, the church, are. We're a people who are rescued, gathered, Christ-centered, and we're a family of brothers and sisters looking forward to an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to be thankful to God for all that he's given us in Christ. We're called to be loving and gracious with one another, and we're called to do that in response to how loving and gracious God has been to us and is to us. And we're called to be committed to God and committed to one another. And finally, we're a people sent to serve. Sent to serve one another by loving one another and by serving our community, by making Jesus known across Willoughby and Kirkcaldy and beyond, as our benefice mission statement says. So let's pray that God sends us and that he brings home a great harvest of new believers, making people heaven-bound along with us. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we praise you that Jesus gave us the prayer to pray here, the, the prayer to pray that you would send out workers into the harvest field. And so we do pray that you would send workers out. And we say to you, Lord, that here we are, send us. And please add to our number those who are being saved. Please add to our number those who would love to find a church family in their own community. And please, Father, would you be growing us, not so that we have the biggest church in the area or anything like that, but so that your kingdom is extended as you add those people to us who you make heaven bound. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.